Wind Down with Jana Kramer and Michael Kaufman, an iHeartRadio podcast.
All right. I'm excited for today's show because I want to have a debate with you. And actually, everyone here. I'm probably going to lose, but that's fine.
Bring it.
Is it just because you knew I was going to lose?
I can't wait for this debate. I don't even know what it's about.
So we have a guest today from Bling Empire.
Correct.
Her name's Cherie.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was kind of reading her background, and you watched Bling Empire. And, mm-hmm. you know, the background that I've heard from her is, you know, she proposed to her husband. And, you know, they also went out of the traditions of the Asian culture. So, mm-hmm. you know, they had kids first before they got married.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of leads me to traditions and what is expected of you. And why are you laughing?
I don't know. I'm just anxious to see where this goes.
Well, so it's like, you know, traditions and where it's what's expected. You, when you're in, you know, you go to school and then you go to college and then you get a job. And then it's like, that is what you're supposed to do. And, you know, I don't know if we've touched on this before in the podcast, and I think we probably have, but it just leads to, you know, why do we all have to follow that same mold? And as parents, we have polar opposites of what that mold looks like. And, you know, I kind of fear where that's going to maybe cause some tension when the kids get older, because even, you know, I will say this too. I mean, I potentially might be filming a movie in August, and if there's quarantine stuff, I mean, Jolie, because Michael is very much like, you will not miss, like, okay, there's 8 days that Jolie can miss in school. And I'm like, she can miss a month. Like, it's fine. We'll bring the paperwork home. We can do the homework. And Michael's like, she will not miss a day. And I'm like,
not that she won't miss a day, but it's like, when they get into organized school, you can't just be like, all right, well, I got to shoot for 3 weeks. Let's bring the whole family up.
That's what football people do. That's what other movie people do. We would unfortunately have to put her in private school, but that's what you do. The family travels together. So this is just a little caveat. Like, this is a little like, beep, let's put a pin in that one.
Okay? Get your popcorn ready, guys.
So let's put a pin in that one. The big one for me is college. Okay. Because I personally don't feel like you have to go to college. And if it's something where you don't, if it's like, you know, if she wants to be an actress, you don't think you got to go to college. There's some great theatrical schools,
mm-hmm.
sure, but I don't think you need to go to college. And who am I to say? I didn't go to college.
Mm-hmm.
So how can I say to my kid, you have to do something? Like when my dad said, you have to go to college, I basically gave him the finger, drove off in my green Saturn, and went to LA.
I'm going to dream, Dad.
But it's like, you know, you're very much like you are a very strict traditional. This is how it goes.
You're putting some words into my mouth.
What are you not traditional on?
What I'm saying is, look, if they if Jolie and Jace come to us and they say they don't want to go to college, I'll say, okay, what's your plan? If they have a plan, say they want to be an actor. I want to be an actor. Okay. Have you thought about going to a theater school, a trade school, something specific for that trade?
Okay. What if they go, yeah, but I just want to go out to LA and just start auditioning, and mom has some friends that she can hook me up with.
Okay. Then I'll say, what job are you going to get in the meantime to help pay your bills while you're out there getting auditions? Are you going to be a waitress? Are you going to be that? Like,
what job did you have when you were playing football?
Football was my job.
But what bills was it paying?
All my bills.
I'm not talking about NFL. I'm talking about in college.
What do you mean?
You didn't have a job.
Scholarship.
No. Okay, great. Congrats.
Right.
I'm saying, but did you have a job to, because you didn't know you were going to be in the NFL.
Yeah, every summer I worked. What's your point here?
My point is that, like,
I worked and played football and went to school.
I understand that. I would, you know me, like, I'm the kind of person where it's like, hey, you're gonna, like, they're gonna buy their own car with their money that they get from work.
Sure.
But let them, like, you don't have to drill them into, like, you know, like, the last thing you want is like, what are you gonna do for work? They gotta figure that out.
Right. But also our parents, as parents, our job is to put them in the best position to succeed. So we're not just going
to
say.
My parents never asked me what I was going to do for work when I moved to LA. I just was like, I have to get a job because I'm 18 and I've got zero money.
Right. But I still want our kids to. This is about not about tradition. This is about just my personality of being prepared. It's I want you to go and be able to whatever scenario comes your way, you have a response for. There's some preparation instead of just flying by the seat of your pants with a life-changing decision. Be like, we'll see what it pans out.
Okay. Why don't you apply that to your own life?
What do you mean?
Mr. Fly by the seat of the pants?
What do you mean?
That's how you live your life. How can you say that and then not actually live that? That's what I'm saying. Can't be a hypocrite to your kids.
How am I a hypocrite?
You don't fly. You fly by the seat of your pants.
How?
How not?
How? Please tell me how.
Like, you know.
I don't know.
You just fly. You flutter. You're a flutterer. Like with our book, you know, the schedule. We had a schedule. Mark is like, no, I don't know. With the book, we have a schedule. And it's right. Like, no, the last month you crammed everything in.
That's different than having a plan versus how I work better.
But one's not living by a plan.
No, that's not. You're taking it into a different category, different context.
I'm just saying.
I'm talking about when you're a young adult.
They have to make, yes, we can say.
Right, we help push them in the right direction. I'm a grown up now.
Okay, then I have a question. You said that you were going to buy them their car, and I'm very against that. I think they should work for their, I worked my butt off for my Red Alero.
Mm-hmm.
I got a job when I was 14, and then at 15, I started waitressing, and I bought myself, or at least a Red Alero. Mm-hmm. I maybe like signed, you know, my dad signed for it.
Right.
But he didn't pay for it. I worked for it. I paid $200 a month on that damn thing. So I'm just saying, like, yeah, I don't want to give.
And guess what? If you didn't make the payments, guess whose credit hurts? Your dad's.
Well, but he knew I would work for it. Mark, do you have anything here? Like, what if your kid said to you they didn't want to go to college?
You know Mark's team, Mike, right here.
No, I know. You can already tell he's like a dad.
You know, I kind of am, only because, no, I think that you give Mike not enough credit for planning, because we've talked about this before. You always feel like he's got his whole day free with nothing to do, so you start giving him something. But he had a plan for that day. He knew he was going to be doing all day long. You just didn't know it. That doesn't mean he doesn't have a plan just because you don't know it. I don't know about the book and all that stuff. That's between you guys. I don't know about that. I'm a traditional person, I think. I would love to see my kids go to college and then get a job and then get married and then have babies. I'd like to see the older one do it before the younger one. But if that somehow goes awry, I don't think I'm the type that's going to shame them or try and push them back on the right path, as long as they're happy. Because I dropped out of college. I quit a job in Wisconsin and moved to Los Angeles with nothing but a plan. And so you got to support them. As far as buying them a car, though, I think I would help them with the car. I do.
Oh my God, you softies. Make them work for it.
It doesn't mean they don't have to work for it. I'm not just going to say, hey, you don't have a job. Here's a car. I'm going to say, hey, mom and I will help you with half, or mom and I will help you with whatever. And then you have to work to maintain the payments.
I just, okay. And this might hurt a little bit. Why are you looking at me straight into my soul? Why are you looking at me like that?
Let's hear it. We're all waiting.
Stop it. You're making me sweat. I think there is... Oh my God, no, seriously.
I'm just looking at you. No, seriously. Stop. No, don't give me that like patronizing tap. Like, oh, seriously. Come on. I want to hear what you have to say.
No, stop. Now you're like actually being rude.
Now?
Well, stop. Because I'm being like serious. Like, stop.
I'm being serious too.
No, I just think if I have spoken to someone who said that sometimes they regret helping because it makes them not be as responsible for the value of money. And I think if you're helping your kids too much, it can hurt them in adulthood. No?
Yes, and I think that's a real issue with this entire generation of kids, that we help them too much. We're always helicoptering over them, making sure nothing bad ever happens to them, where the truth is they need to fail so they can learn how to fail.
Right, yes. Correct. And here's what Jana's getting at. Because I'll tell you right now, it wasn't because, yes, my parents always made sure that I could cover my bills if I had a hard time, or food in my refrigerator in college or whatever. By no means was a charity, but whatever my scholarship didn't cover, because it really wasn't enough, and especially when I was a walk-on, they made sure I didn't go hungry. But my devaluing of a dollar didn't come from my parents being there to help me if I needed it. I admittedly say it was from making the money I did in my 20s. And I'll say this. I've said this to other people because you and I are different when it comes to spending, right? Like, I'm a little bit more laissez-faire, a little bit more open to spending than you are. And we've talked about it numerous times on here. And I literally contribute that to, in your 20s, your power was getting turned off. You're eating taquitos for dinner. Like,
I was stealing toilet paper from the Wood Ranch Grill in West Hollywood.
Right. That was your early 20s. My early 20s, I was making a ridiculous amount of money, especially for an early 20-year-old. So my value of a dollar early after college, I had a different skew on things. Mm-hmm. And that still affects me now because I was just used to being on my own, having money to buy whatever I wanted, mm-hmm. and just doing it mm-hmm. because I could. Mm-hmm. And so that's where I admit that's where my appreciation of a dollar has downgraded, is because of that. Not from my parents helping me in a time of need, not from them, you know, helping me with other things. It came from my experience in my early 20s.
I do appreciate you saying that, though, because you've never expressed that to me before that way. Like, you've never. And so I'm like, and now I'm like, oh, that makes sense now. Like, I understand now why you value money different. Mm-hmm. You've never explained it that way to me.
Really?
Yeah. Mm. So I do appreciate you being able to explain it to me like that.
Yeah.
You know, I think just like to circle back, I think there's healthy ways of helping your kids. Like, of course, right. If Jolie and Jace come to me, 1000%, I'm going to help them because I like to be able to have the means that my parents didn't have, because I had to quit things. You know, I had to quit figure skating, something I loved, because my parents got divorced. My mom had to work 3 jobs and I had to work because my parents got divorced. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there was a lot of things that I didn't have, but if I needed it, I had to work for it. And there's things I wish I could say, like, Mom, but I will say also, when my power was getting shut off in LA, you know, my mom took money out of her retirement. And when I got really sick in Romania, you know, she took more money out of her retirement and, you know, flew me back home, you know? Mm-hmm. And so it's like, a mother and a father are going to do whatever they are going to do for their children. And, mm-hmm. you know, hopefully we'll continue to have the means to be able to provide. I just know the value of not having it. Mm-hmm. And also I will say too, that's affected my relationship with money, because I'm so scared to lose it that I become very controlling of it.
Right.
So I think that's, you know, an aspect that I'm constantly working on, because it's so scary to be in that situation, because I don't want to ever have to look at, you know, to, like, I had my two best girlfriends from Michigan were in town when I was living in LA, and my freaking power turned off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, it was embarrassing. Mm-hmm. Like, here I am, I moved to LA to be this actress, and my shit's getting turned off. Mm-hmm. You know, so I just think there is a healthy balance, but I want them to know that, like, they can't just, like, they gotta do everything they can before they, like, they know, they'll know we're they're the, always there, but the, like, I don't want to be like, here.
No,
you know?
I agree. And I never said I wanted to be like, here, here's this, here's that.
It's but just, that's a car. And I'll tell you what, let me do what my what my grandpa did for my brother was the coolest thing ever. And it's something mm-hmm. I've always thought of. that I want to do for our kids, because we do have the, you know, hopefully by then we have still the means.
Right.
What my grandpa did for my brother was, my grandpa said, if you want this car, it's my car, you got to pay me. So every 2 weeks, and my brother got, you know, two jobs. He paid my brother, he paid my grandpa for this beat up, even had a Mary Kay sign on it, because my grandma used to sell Mary Kay. And I mean, it was just like me and my friends would just jump in the back seats because they were the bouncy, like the just a big old like boat. Car. It was a boat, yeah. But my brother paid my grandpa every 2 weeks on a schedule, and my grandpa, very German structured. He was like, you'll pay me every 2 weeks. This is how much it's going to be. And by this point, it'll be paid off. And so when my brother paid him off, it was like $15,000, which would have been the blue book, Kelly blue book of what the car cost. My grandpa gave him all the money back and said, put this in your bank. And I was just like, it, like, to this day, it still gives me chills, because I'm like, now that's awesome, because he still worked for it. But mm-hmm. now it's go put this in your bank. You weren't late on a payment. And now, you know, invest in this. Don't you like that, Mark?
It's a beautiful story. I love that. I would love to do something like that for the kids.
Like, how cool. You don't tell them until the very end. And it's like, oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what a gift, you know, that you taught them hard work does pay off,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I just love that.
You know, and it's interesting, because there's different ways to look at, you know, I feel like people, depending on their experiences, they can go one of two directions, where like we have these friends that live across from us mm-hmm. that are neighbors, and he grew up with like, I mean, food stamps, like barely any food. Who? With like Jason.
Oh, yeah.
And
Jason, our neighbor?
Yeah.
Oh,
wow. And like, you know, he had like four other siblings, and they didn't even know where next meal would come some days. So now him and his wife, they make a little money, and he'll like overbuy groceries because he never wants his kids to ever have to know what it's like to not have food available. And she gets frustrated because she's like, we're wasting so much. But he just, it's this childhood anxiety. He's like, no, I never want our kids to ever have to feel that ever. And so it's, you know, kind of like that, where it's people that grew up maybe without money or hard times, it's, they'll maybe overcompensate, where it's like, I never want my kids to ever come close to feeling that. Or it's the other end, where it's just like, no, I worked for this, you got to do the same thing. So it's finding that happy medium of still teaching them the lesson, but also knowing that mom and dad got your back. Mm-hmm. You know,
I mean, I feel like we got off a little bit, but like in a great way.
What do you mean?
Because at the end of the day, you know, if the kids don't want to go to college, if they do want to go to college,
I'm going to support them no matter what. Yeah. I just, here's the thing.
And what if Jolie wants to propose to somebody? What would you say? Okay. And what if Jolie wants to have a baby before she gets married?
Look, that's down the road. I don't want to have to worry about that problem yet. Okay. But.
Because I think the dream world is everyone, you know, but some things just happen differently for people, and that's okay, right?
Here's my only thing about, okay, say, you know, they want to become an actor, right? One of the kids want to go out there. Jolie wants to become an actor.
I mean, I will gladly tell them they should not do that.
Right. But say she wants to, right? Okay, fine. You know how hard it is to be successful at it and to make any kind of living at it, right? And so, okay, say she does that. Say, unfortunately, it doesn't pan out and she didn't go to college or any kind of school. Then she comes home and she's 25. What career path does she have? Where it's like, it's like, what, you think she's just going to go get a job somewhere? Well, guess what? Nowadays, to get a job, it's like everyone, you like have to have a master's. Before, like when I got out of college, it's like, yeah, you know, bachelor's degree is fine. Nowadays, it's like master's, like it's insanely competitive. So what is she going to do then?
Well, I didn't go to college because I didn't want a fallback plan. Because in my brain, I'm like, that way I wouldn't fall back
on
that.
No, I'm with you. Trust me. I was the same way when I did the NFL. It's like, it was NFL or nothing. People were like, oh, what are you going to do after, you know, football? I was like, I'm not worried about that because this is my plan A through Z. So I get it. And with sports, you're able to go through the route of going to college because that's part of the process. But I'm just saying, just being able to have a thought around it.
I came out here to be an actor like we talked about last week. And then my backup plan was radio. And here I am.
Now look at you, baby. Riding high.
No, but I'm saying it's my backup plan. This was not the plan. This was the backup plan. It's good to have a backup plan. But to Jana's point, you'll do it. You'll end up doing it.
You end up doing it because you don't have, and I'm like, I will not fall back on a plan.
Right. But Mark, even though you had a name to your backup plan or an idea of what your backup plan was that at least a relieving feeling being like, okay, if it doesn't pan out, I have something that I'm comfortable doing, as opposed to being just lost and be like, what the
100% fuck do I do now? And that's why when I was panicking, because my job at Disneyland was going away, I sent out my radio demo. It was a pure panic move. It was pulling the ripcord. It was when in case of emergency, break glass, psh, and there's my radio demo. I got to do it now. Because, yeah, it was a scary thing. And knowing that was there was a relieving feeling. But what if I wouldn't have had that? Would I have gone so much farther into it? And would I have achieved every dream I set out here to achieve?
Right.
There's the what if game. That we love to play.
Love the what if game.
I will say though that even if you don't have a backup plan, and you know, if you didn't have radio, you might have found that you're always going to find something else. You're going to find something that you will end up finding your passion. And I do believe that if you set out your goal, I think you'll always land. You're going to land among the stars,
or you'll land up at the bottom of a bottle.
No, Jesus. Okay.
There's other people that go that route.
I will say too, I'm not an advocate for not going to college. I just want to say that. I think, you know, having an education and a degree is very valuable. But if you do have a, you know, acting, or you want to open a play, like, you know, I obviously if you want to go into business, that's great too, you know, for a studio. But I just think there are certain situations where maybe it isn't like the route. And that's okay.
Yeah, and that's fine.
Yeah.
I believe that college isn't for everybody. I do believe that. But, you know, again, I just want to plan. That's all.
I'm excited to just find out the proposal thing.
Well, yeah. So on that topic, speaking of money and everything, let's take a quick break. Mm-hmm. And then I'll intro our guest, Cherie. All right, so we have a great guest today. You know, it's Wildfire right now, Bling Empire on Netflix. And so we have the wonderful, amazing, sweet Cherie on the show today to talk everything Bling Empire, her baby, her mother, or her babies, sorry. Her fiance, Jesse, was not able to join us, but let's bring her in.
Hi.
Hello.
You're adorable.
Well, thank you.
You know, I just binged Bling Empire this morning, actually. And, you know, I thought I was just going to watch it a little bit, Cherie, just to watch you and Jesse, since we were supposed to have you and him on. I know he couldn't make it today, but I really enjoyed the show. It's very entertaining.
Yeah. And I have a lot of friends, too, that are so, you know, just like that's all they talk about. What was for you, like, what was the deciding factor for you to be on a reality show?
At first, I actually wasn't going to be a part of it because I was so busy with my mom and I was pregnant, and I told Jesse and he was like, no, I'm not going to do it. And he didn't even know who Jeff Jenkins was. I didn't know who Jeff Jenkins was, but I knew his work. And then my friend told me, and then I went to meet with Jeff, and I thought it was too good to be true. And I came home and I told Jesse, and he's like, no, that's too good to be true. Like an all Asian cast reality show. Mm-hmm. And we just didn't think anything of it. And then, you know, a few months down the road, Jeff is like, hey, good news. You know, we're going to do the show. And all of my friends were like, oh my gosh, Cherie, yay. Like they're all like happy, but I was like really depressed. I was, you know, taking care of my mom and being pregnant and really just trying to breathe every day, because every day I went to the hospital, it was bad news. And I didn't think I was going to do the show at all, really. And then I spoke to my mom about it, and she was, at first, you know, against it. And she was just, you know, a very typical Chinese mom. Mm-hmm. But then later on, she's just like, you know what, Cherie, you want to do the show, you should do it. And then it's crazy because literally a few weeks before the show started filming, she passed away. Mm-hmm. And that gave me time to, actually, the show really helped me. It helped me with a lot of grief. I think without me being pregnant, and maybe even without the show, I would just probably end up where my mom's at, really. Like I couldn't think anything other than, you know, my mom not in my life. Like, but to me, that just doesn't make sense. Like even till this day, I have trouble especially during the holidays. Like today is Chinese New Year's Eve, and it's a big holiday in our family. And just, you know, when I woke up in the morning and she wasn't here, it just kind of shocked me a little bit. And,
right.
You know, the holidays are really difficult for me.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I'm sure. I was just going to ask you, did you know, and you kind of answered it. It seemed like the show was almost a healthy distraction for you. And the fact that you got kind of your mother's blessing there at the end, you know, before she passed away. I think you were 8.5 months. It was just before Javon was born, correct? Mm. Yeah, that's unfortunate.
I was very, very pregnant, yeah.
Yeah.
Right before he was born.
Yeah. Sorry if there's any delay right now. She was trying so hard.
Mm. Yeah. You know, I'm curious. No, when you say, you know, like a typical Asian mom and the Asian culture, what is that because I don't know much about the Asian culture, and how are you gonna raise your kids? Like, what are some of the amazing attributes of the Asian culture that you're gonna bring in as a mother yourself?
I think Jadar and Javon definitely know a lot about Chinese food and just Asian food in general, because we eat a lot of it at home and out before COVID happened. And Jadar was very lucky. She actually got to travel everywhere. You know, one baby, you can travel with them. It's easier. Now with two babies and COVID, like, forget it. We're not traveling. We're eating at home or we're buying to go, right? And so I think Jadar has a lot of Chinese values in her, more than I expected she would. I mean, she loves everything about the Chinese language and learning it, and actually every language. She's like a language girl. And she... I don't know. I just hope I can be the type of mom my mom was to me, to Jadar, because it's just been so hectic without her. And I feel that, you know, when she was here, I was just like kind of being lazy, I guess, lazy mom with my first baby. I was definitely there for Jadar, but I like leaned a lot on my mom. Because, you know, mom, she came in, she like did everything for me. Mm-hmm. And Jadar was really close to her. And I don't think Jadar knows my mom is gone. Like, she knows that she's not here, but she doesn't know where she's at. Like, she'll ask me if you have that. Even today, she's like, oh, Popo's coming, and Popo and Gong Gong is, you know, grandma, grandpa. And I tell her, no, they're going to come tomorrow. And she's like, okay. But even if she doesn't see my mom, she still, like, for some reason feels that my mom is here. Mm. Does that make any sense?
No, it definitely does.
She could feel it.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. How old are the kids now?
Jadar is 4.5 and Javon is 18 months.
Wow. That's crazy, because I guess you guys were filming obviously a while back, because, I mean, you know, she had the birth of your son on the show, which was a pretty cool experience. Was that something that you were open to doing, or did it just kind of it seemed to happen that way, or did you have any issue with that?
No, I didn't want to film my birth on TV. Not on Netflix. But then I thought about it hard with Jesse, and I told him, hey, you know what, I don't have any footage of Jadar, because when Jadar was born, he was really nervous. I told him, like, let's hire a photographer, let's have videography. He's like, no, we're not doing any of that, I'm gonna do it on my iPhone. So he took an iPhone video, but the whole video is in slow motion. So I reminded him, I said, are you sure you want to have a slow motion like video of Javon? Like, I don't want that. And so we, you know, obviously talked to the producers. We're like, okay, well, make sure, you know, it's not even like PG-13. It has to be PG, like really clean, mm-hmm. like nothing, you know, rated R. And they're like, oh, of course not, Sheree. Why would we do that to you? Like, it would totally be PG. And then they filmed the clip and they showed me, and they're like, oh, do you approve? And I'm like, yeah, it's beautiful. I mean, the fact that I saw Javon's first breath on TV, like that just takes my breath away every time I watch it.
Well,
and I cry, and actually all of my family members, all my friends cry too.
Well, if you ever want to feel, we had our son actually live podcast, and I regret that, just because, I mean, I'm like puking, and I'm like throwing up. I'm having a panic attack, because when I was getting like the epidural, like there were the spinal tap or whatever. I mean, it was just like ridiculous. So major props to you for showing, you know, actually showing it.
Do you only have one baby?
We have two. We have a 5-year-old girl and a 2-year-old little boy. So, yeah, they're fun. They're awesome kids. But I'm curious, because, you know, I've, you know, I haven't watched the show yet. I'm going to now because I love you and you're so cute. And, you know, Michael was saying how much he really enjoyed it too. But what he told me was that you proposed. And I was just like, wait, what? Like, she proposed to him? And I'm curious, like, how that, like, A, what was your deciding factor? And then was there anything in you being like, because if that was me, I'd be like, well, why wouldn't you propose to me? Like, don't you, like, am I not good enough? Am I not worth it? Like, did any of those thoughts go through your head at all?
No, I never felt that way with Jesse. I never felt I wasn't good enough or not worth it because he's always there for me. He, like, physically, emotionally, everything. Like, even with my mom, when she was in the hospital, he came with me all the time. He drove me. He didn't want me to drive. And I never felt that he didn't want me. It was never about that. And I think with Jesse, he just like kind of like a snail. He takes his time. And to back him up a little bit, he was actually going to propose right before we found out my mom, you know, was ill. And he had planned on it. He planned like a big trip to Japan. And I don't think I was pregnant yet. Yeah, I wasn't pregnant yet. And he planned a big trip to Japan. He's going to propose to me there, my mom there. But then, you know, we heard the bad news and he obviously didn't want me to, he knew how sad it was. My mom was everything to me. And so he just, you know, stopped the whole plan. He canceled the trip and he thought maybe he was going to propose to me like in between that. He was hoping my mom would get better. Like we were all hoping that, but she just, every day it was like a downfall for her. And so with that being said, then he was gonna propose like after, but then there's this like Chinese like feng shui thing where you're not supposed to do it. I don't really know what the story is, mm-hmm. but yeah, it's just what he told me. And then I was just like, guys, that's so slow. I'm just gonna do it. Like whatever, I don't care. You know, and not I don't care, I do care, but yeah, I just went with my gut feeling. And at that moment, I felt my mom, she was still here in spirit. Mm. And she would have loved to know that, you know, we were engaged.
That's so great. I was anxious to ask both of you, you know, when your kids get older and they get to that point of relationship, you know, is that something with Jesse, you know, because like what he was saying on the show, he was like, why does everything have to be so traditional? Like, you know, we have this family, we love each other. Like, yeah, we'll get married, but he didn't want to feel rushed or whatever it was. I know there's a lot around it, like you're just saying, but when it comes to your kids, is that something that you guys are going to kind of teach or preach to be like, hey, be married before you have kids? Or are you going to be more open because y'all's story is a little different?
I think my life was meant to be this way, but definitely for my children, I want them to get married first and then have babies. Yeah. And I want to be there for the wedding. Really important to me.
So what was that for you that, you know, where you didn't feel like you had to do it the traditional way?
I think maybe I got lucky. I don't know. Did I get lucky or unlucky? I have no idea. I never in my life thought I would propose to someone, I guess. And the idea just kind of came to me out of the blues. And I remember telling my friend and she was like, wait, are you okay? Like, did you drink religion tequila? I was like, no, I didn't drink religion tequila. And yeah, she thought I was crazy.
Well, I mean, good for you because, you know, it came across in such a positive way where it wasn't like you were demanding it or just making the move when he didn't want to. You're like, hey, this is what I want. I'm a strong, you know, woman that wants to marry this man. He wants to marry me. I know that. So I'm just going to step up and do it. So I love the way I thought they framed it in such a good way. And I thought you delivered it in such a good way that it wasn't out of a distress. It was out of just because of you guys loved and connected with each other. So I thought it was really beautiful.
Yeah. And I'm curious. And first of all, I'm so sorry about your mom. You know, for our listeners, are there any tips for you that you do like to deal with grief or someone that's lost a loved one? Like what helps you? Do you meditate? Do you write things down? Do you distract yourself? Like what are some of the ways that you've been able to kind of put one foot in front of the other?
Dealing with the grief was not easy. When I was still pregnant, every day I had to tell myself like, don't cry, don't cry, don't cry. Don't affect baby Javon. And up until the day he finally came out, I thought I was going to go home and drink and just drink, but I don't even drink much. But I never did any of that. I thought I was just going to drink and be sad and cry it out, but I actually never did any of that. Do I cry? Yes. Especially during the holidays, I cry a lot. Even today I cried. Mm-hmm. And I think just don't think too much of it. You know that you're whoever that passed away in your life is in a better place and that they're still here with you. Like, I know my mom is like in heaven, but I feel that she's around. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how to explain it. I think everyone deals with grief differently, but definitely don't drink when you're grieving and don't, you know, I think I was very lucky to have Javon. He helped me a lot. Mm. Like, he is the happiest baby. I don't know how that baby went through like 9 months of with me being sad, going to the hospital, going on ambulance rides, like taking care of my mom, being a caretaker, a bookkeeper, a wannabe doctor, like a nurse. Like, he did everything with me, and he popped out just like the happiest baby. Like, he was a gift for me, like a gift from God to me to help me with my mom. Literally, that's how I feel. And he just is always smiling around me. I can't, like, if I'm sad, I just look at him. I'm done. I don't need to feel sad anymore.
He's a piece of your, like, mom.
He's a gift. Yeah.
I love it. You know, you're just mentioning drinking a little bit, Cherie, and you mentioned religious tequila. And, you know, I know that's something that you and Jesse have worked on in a business that you started. Tell us and our listeners kind of some about the entrepreneurial endeavors that you and Jesse are doing.
Right. Religion Tequila, another one of our babies. We actually started the brand from scratch, and it's 100% organic tequila. We have a Manuka honey tequila, which is really delicious. And that Manuka honey, I mean, people are crazy about it because they think, you know, if you're not feeling well and you take a shot of Manuka honey tequila, you're good to go. And we never marketed anything, but we're grateful for the company. Yeah, we work so hard on it. The bottles are triangular shape. They're very beautiful. Actually, we're having a private label come out at the end of the month. And what it is you can, it's a special bottle for you, and you can, you know, put your name on it. And there's only 188 bottles. Wow. And it's like a special private label bottle for whoever that wants to own one. Yeah.
That's so awesome. And where can our listeners find you and find this Religion Tequila?
For me, it would be Cherie Official on Instagram. And for Religion Tequila, it would be Tequila Religion on Instagram.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for coming on our show. Sorry that there was a little bit of delay, but thank you for coming on our show and just sharing your story with us and being open with us and authentic and vulnerable, especially with your mom. And I'm so sorry. And I'm excited to watch Bling Empire because, you're so sweet. And I'm pumped to watch it. So thanks for coming on our show.
Thanks, Cherie, for your time.
Bye.
She was so sweet.
Oh, she was great. You know, I wish we had Jesse, her fiance, on too. But no, she was super sweet. She came across just as she does in the show. Just very, like, kind. And
you know what's interesting is she doesn't seem like someone that would be on a reality show. Do you know what I mean? I was expecting, because, you know, you see the billboard.
Right.
And that's all I've seen, pretty much, you know, because right. I haven't had a chance to watch it yet. You know, you said you would watch it and mm-hmm. kind of, you know, fill me in on that. And it just was like, I loved Crazy Rich Asians, mm-hmm. like the movie, but I was just like, I just don't know if I can deal with another out there reality show, you know, like a Housewives. I'm not a really big Housewives fan. I mean, I watch a few shows, but you know right. what I mean? Like, I'm just like, but she was just normal and like nice.
No, her and her fiance, Jesse, are definitely the calmest out of the crew. Mm-hmm. But even so, it's not as dramatic as some of the Housewives shows have been. Yeah, there's some drama, but it's like everyone's still connected and still friends. But no, Cherie and Jesse are so sweet, are such nice, gentle people on the show. And she, I mean, that's exactly what I expected. you know.
And now I want to watch it because that's the kind of reality TV I like. Like I like, if we were to ever do a reality show, I would want to be with like friends or that where it's like happy mm-hmm. and it's not funny. Just like drama and throwing tables and like hitting each other. Do you know what I mean?
Right. Unless it's like a contest to see who can throw a table farther.
1,000%.
Then well, I'm in.
Okay. Mark, do we have any emails?
We do. This is from Hannah. She's frustrated. She says, my boyfriend went on a hunting trip with some friends after I asked him not to go. We live together, and I'm a full-time photographer. Well, 4 days later, he tests positive for COVID. I now have to postpone all of my photo sessions for 2 weeks, and I'm taking a huge income loss. I'm so hurt and angry with him, and I'm feeling so much resentment, even though he has apologized many times. Neither of us can leave the house to get any space from each other. How would you handle working through this?
Hannah. Ooh.
I feel bad because she asked.
And I feel bad for him because, of course, he goes back.
He's never living this down.
Never. Poor guy.
Poor guy.
And poor girl. Hannah. Poor both of them because this is just an unfortunate. Because think of all the people that have done. I did my buddy's weekend in North Carolina last year during COVID. And, you know, no one, there's 14 of us there. No one got anything. And, you know, which now, granted, was all of our fears that we would come home because all of our wives would have been like, I told you not to go. And but that didn't happen. So I feel bad for him and her.
I will say, though, too, you know, that was a conversation that we had because it was
for sure
in the COVID times. I also knew it was June, July, August, September. When was that? It was
July, end of July.
End of July. So, I mean, it was definitely during, you know, still COVID times. And mm-hmm. I mean, obviously it's all COVID times right now, but. You know, it's still where it was, like you should probably stay home. And, but I knew he needed it. And yeah. I knew that it would be good for him. But I did say, we did have a conversation that if either I change my mind, like yeah. if unsafe or yep. whatever, yep. is it okay? Like, can you stay home if for some reason I just don't feel comfortable with yep. it? And he was like, 1,000%, if you want me to stay home, no issues at all. And I feel like that's that. And once he said that, I was like, no, babe, go. Like, go. Right. Like, you need it, go. I think she probably would have been just as open to it if he was just as like, if you don't want me to go.
Well, she said no.
Yeah, but how did she say no, though? Because she might have been like, you're not going, like a controlling way.
Or, yeah, I don't know. I make up that she might have been like, no, you're not going. And then that's why he was probably like, screw it, I'm going.
And if she would have maybe expressed it in a more.
Be like, look, I know you want to go. Yeah. It's just right now is not a good time because of COVID. I got all these shoots coming up. How much would that suck if you, the off chance you came back with it, right? So can we just wait it out a little longer? And then I promise you and your buddies can go, you know, as soon as you can after that. So, yeah, I mean, all sounds good in hindsight, and it's a lot harder to do in the moment. We get it.
So how do they deal with it now, though? Because I feel like he totally just disrespected her by just going against her wishes.
Yes, he did. And she probably disrespected by the way that she said no and, like, probably didn't even make it a discussion.
Well, what if she did do it right? Let's give her the benefit of the doubt. Let's give her the benefit of the doubt that she did it right and was just like, I really don't want you to go. And he still went. How would she deal with that? Because I'd be like, I'd feel disrespected.
That's really hard because I have a hard time thinking she did it that way because he went. But let's say he's just that big of an asshole and still went, even if she came from a good place. Then she has every right to, I mean, she has every right to be upset anyway. But like, she just needs to continue to express it. Be like, dude.
In the future, when I
say... This is still sitting with me.
Yeah.
Just please, in the future, can we agree that we can talk about it? And you can just come to me and tell me instead of just blatantly disrespecting me and leaving? Because that's not cool.
Mark?
You know, time heals all wounds. I don't think this is the end of their relationship. I think it's going to be okay. He effed up. He knows he effed up. You're pissed. Justifiably, but you're going to get past this. It's going to be okay. It's just going to take some time. That's it. And I know you can't separate from each other, but I mean, do the best you can. I mean, I don't know if you have two bedrooms or if one of you can sleep on the couch or something, but it might just take a little bit to get past this. But once the 2 weeks are over, I think you guys are going to be fine.
And let the resentment go. Don't let it stay in you. Talk about it and then let it go.
Yeah. And yeah, Hannah, the more you remind him, though, the more it's just going to create a bigger divide, you know, so the more you just keep rubbing it in his face. So just try to, yeah, like Jana said, try to let it go. We know it's hard. He's owning that he messed up. So we just got to swallow it.
Guys, I feel like that was a great show.
Great show.
Come a little closer, baby. You can come closer to me now.
Now I can?
Like, you're being kind of rude.
You're just getting, like, too close to me. I need my personal space.
Oh, now you're too close. You don't like intimacy? You know, the guy actually tries to get close and intimate. And you're being rude. So that's our show for today.
Oh, bye.
Later.